Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Ron, and this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, Ron. Today's a special day. You know what day it is?
Is it number 26 day?
It is. It's our anniversary.
We've been doing this a whole year. Oh my goodness.
I know. This is episode 26 of Digital Divination, and we have not missed an episode for the entire year.
As far as the listeners know, right? Because who knows if we banked some sort of vague sort of episode and we slipped that in one time. They don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Did we do that?
I don't know, but they wouldn't know if we did, right? We can say, no, we've never done that. And the listeners will be like, but maybe you did. And that's exactly what you'd say if you had done it.
Okay. Well, maybe we did one because I'm actually kind of blanking out. I think we recorded something early when you went camping to Colorado. We recorded early for that.
Oh, that sounds right. But that was still within the same week. I don't think that was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we've been pretty consistent. This is quite a window into our lives for the last year.
Yes. Well, that's what I was thinking, because the interesting thing is that we almost missed a week. We had recorded on a Sunday, and I was getting all set to edit it and put it up on Monday. And then I got hospitalized 2 days early for my transplant.
Oh.
And so I was in a mad rush because I didn't want to break our streak. So I contacted Ryan, and I said, hey, can you post it for me? Because I'm in the hospital and I don't have access to my computer or anything. And so I was able to point him to the Zencaster so he could download it, and he put it all up for us.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't even realize he'd come through like a hero for us.
Yeah.
That's neat.
I there was a lot going on then, so I didn't bother to mention that to you. But I was literally in the hospital, not able to do anything and not having anything to do for 2 days because they were kind of worried about I had a weird heart arrhythmia. Like in the final check-in, they wanted to observe me for a while.
Okay.
So I was just like in the hospital, I got nothing to do and I had my phone. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to see if I can talk Ryan through how to download it and get it out.
Well done. It kept us, It kept us this 1 year streak.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it's interesting. You know, you think about what has happened in that this year, we literally started this and then the pandemic hit.
Right. That was the, I think early on, I'd have to go back to listen to some of our early ones. I think we had a tendency to wax a little more personal in these, the last half of the year than the first half of the year. But I wonder whether we mentioned anything that now seems really silly, like, oh, and when this thing is over in a couple weeks.
Yes. Yeah, I don't, I haven't gone back to listen. I think maybe, shoot, I should have done that. That would have been a really nice recap to go through and say, oh, yeah, you know, we talked about this thing and yeah, that wasn't true. So, but no, I don't remember that much. But I do remember we also talked quite a bit about the Black Lives Matter protests.
That's right.
That was pretty big through the summer. We talked quite a bit about my transplant. I think people are probably tired of hearing about that.
No, I don't. I mean, it's a combination of like a health miracle and a comeback story and a wife's real devotion to doing everything she can to make sure her husband gets back to health. And what is not to love about every part of that story?
I know. If only I have some big significant thing I do, then I could make a really good, you know, made for TV movie.
This is it. You do it's digital divination, John. That's the thing.
Well, you know, maybe if we have 10 years of this and win some award, and maybe that's good enough. But I think a year of it is not enough to really bank on that yet.
All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe so. We'll get there, though.
Oh, well, anyway, so I thought with this episode, we talk a little bit about how we got started, why we got started. Kind of we've already discussed a little bit what we did. And then maybe think about where it's going to go.
Yeah, I think they getting it started. I'm interested to hear about both the beginnings, but also a little bit of the technical aspect of it, because I know there's people who are thinking to themselves, look, all I've done is Zoom calls with my friends for gaming or Discord or the other types of programs. There has to be something I could be recording this, and people might be interested in hearing it. And how do you get to there?
Oh, you mean like spill all the secret sauce?
Exactly. I mean, it's not a secret in that you learned it from somewhere, right? That was a...
Yeah, it was this tool you called Google. Yeah. How do I remotely record a podcast? Oh, here are the top 10 results. Let me try all of them.
One after the other after the other.
Oh, I did a lot of free trials just to see what worked. Well, even before that, you know, we joined the network in, I think it was officially in February of 2020, long before anybody really expected that there would be a pandemic where we would all be stuck at home and not be able to see each other face to face anymore, you know?
Right.
And at the time, we were actually recording our actual play podcast where our group is going through the Dawn of Flame adventure path.
Mm-hmm. And back then we would have been sort of like ludicrously low level compared to where we've been and what we've been doing. I mean, it's cute how tough we found things then.
Oh, I can't even remember. So this would have been, so right after Christmas, I don't know. It's all quite a big blank, you know? Yeah, I can't even remember what book we were in. So we're in book five now. So
we're in the book five and near the end of book five. And I think right at the beginning of the pandemic, we were just about to start book four, the one I'm running, the one that I ran. And because I remember at the time opining to more than one person that I had no interest in online gaming. I would just wait until we're all back together. But you know what? Darn it. I'd made a promise to my gaming group that I'd run this volume four of the adventure path we're in. So I can't not figure out how to GM on an electronic platform. And so I'm being dragged kind of unwillingly and kicking and screaming into learning how to GM on a platform like this instead of just kicking back and being a player. And it's made me much better. I've since gone off and run some other things on Roll20, and that's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, I remember that because I had to help you set up the first table, and then you really took it and ran with it. You got it all wired pretty well now.
Yeah, well, I just let my bravado lead the way, right? That's how I live my life. I'm like, I'll just try to be entertaining, and then when it comes out the other end, nobody will pay attention to the fact that it was maybe not as much substance as razzle-dazzle.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing is because we were recording Digital Divination remotely, because it wasn't really practical for us to get together to record this, that actually gave us the tool when we had to shift our actual play to online play and recording as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, that was actually, I remember that was more, that was a lot of trial and error.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, we started with that. We started with Craig first, though.
Oh, I remember that Discord thing that kept dropping us.
Yeah, then we had to shift to this current tool. But we started off this tool for this. Now, when I was recording for the actual play, I had done some one-on-one interviews with people, like getting to know Scooch, getting to know Raz, you know, kind of talking about individual players and their characters. And I used this tool called Zencaster, which for recording two people was free, which is one of the reasons why I used it. And it records into individual tracks, which I can easily dump into my audio editor, which I use a program called Reaper to do it. I can load in each individual track and control the volume and change the tone if I need, eliminate noises and things like that. So it worked pretty well for the one-on-one. And so when we decided early on, I think what was happening, I think I actually pitched this podcast with you to Ryan, and then Luis and Lauren pitched a similar one for Pathfinder, and we kind of were kind of married up on a opposite schedule with them.
Right, to go up against them. Have you spent a lot of time listening to theirs? I like it. I think they do a really good job. They're very technical, but I think they hit their subject and they cover whatever their subject is, like how to build a monk, right, to an incredible depth.
I know. It makes me feel so bad.
No, we're like the palate cleanser in between. Remember the razzle dazzle, John. That's a...
Oh, yeah. It's like they're doing, you know, I remember listening to their first one. I'm thinking, wow, that's not anything like what we're doing.
That's okay. That means it's variety.
Yes. Yeah. We're more of a variety show, right? Oh, so, but the basic idea is mostly I was trying to get you involved in doing something on the network because we were both new, and I was, of all the people in our actual play, I was the only person really doing anything with the network, and I thought, hey, let's try to get Ron involved. And you were very excited.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. And, that's fun.
And I like talking about Starfinder, and I like talking to you, so I just figured we would make that the show.
And that's that. And then we start talking Starfinder when we do it. I guess if we circle back to the idea that people could pull this together to do whatever they wanted, it wouldn't have to be a Starfinder thing. It can be whatever is thrilling to you, although I suspect people listening to us have an interest in Starfinder already. So I think that the number of 5th edition podcasts, 5th edition D&D podcasts is enormous. And you know, the ones that are very famous or very professionally done. I've heard a fair number of 1st edition podcasts, some 2nd edition podcasts, fewer on the Starfinder front. And that kind of puzzles me because it seems like Starfinder lends itself perhaps more thematically to the sort of remote play that everybody's doing and sci-fi sound effects and things like that. So it seems like there's a real space where somebody who wanted to get into that could absolutely do so. So, I mean, we're here and I love it.
Well, and for this particular podcast, I don't think we really wanted to make it a lot of work just because we both have, well, you have a lot going on and I like to pretend I have a lot going on. So keeping it relatively simple, and early on, I did try to come up with a topic ahead of time, try to figure out what we're going to do and kind of script out what we're going to talk about. It is since degenerated to something much more basic than that.
Well, how do you mean?
I pretty much 5 minutes before we're going to go on the air, I just say, maybe we should talk about this. And that's what we talk about.
I guess that's true. I guess I remember early on, we would have like an agenda, even a kind of a perfunctory one, but it was at least an agenda.
Yeah, that seemed, because that's what I do when I do my interviews. I have a pretty set agenda I give to guests so they know what I'm going to talk about. And I thought, well, we'll do this. But I actually enjoy kind of the free form approach that we take to our recordings here. So
yeah, I do too. I think it plugs in very well, I think, to both of us, kind of our personality as well as the a lot of the topic, because we tend to meander a little bit. Nobody's going to ever accuse us of covering any specific topic in depth, but man, are we going to cover it in breadth? I tell you that.
Yes. I think we've done that pretty well. You know, when it comes time to think of topics, I try to think of what we haven't touched on. And because we touch on an awful lot of stuff, I think, oh man, we've talked about everything, but we haven't talked about anything in really sufficient detail. I think maybe that's where we need to backtrack and say, you know, we talked about 30 seconds on this one thing about a year ago. We're going to talk about 40 minutes on it today. I don't know.
Total deep dive, right? We've talked about witch warpers. Now you're going to get all the witch warpers. Then we go like Lauren and Luis style. Yeah. Deep into stuff. That's, I don't know. I think about that, and then I think about all the other ways the discussion about the witch warper could go, and then we're off in the weeds again, right? On some tangent in a very, you know, Ron and John kind of way.
Well, and the thing is, it's not like both of us are disorganized. I think we're pretty good at outlining and doing stuff. It's more like I don't want to do that type of approach, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it feels a little more like work. Now, I know Luis very well, and getting into the specifics is something that not only he does not only does he do it very well, but he enjoys it quite a bit as well. And that's very, that's a sort of fit for him. What we do is different than that, because I think it's maybe not like squarely in our desires to be digging in that way.
Yeah. And you know, the network also has a podcast that kind of does more digging like that, or actually it's a Twitch recording or whatever we call that. I don't know. Right. Where they, it's No Direction Beyond, where they record it live and send it on Twitch, and then they package it up and publish it on YouTube as well. And that's where Alex and Vanessa and James and used to be Owen Casey Stevens would take a pretty deep dive into particular books or particular subjects and things.
Yep. Yep. And that's, wow, that's a great team to hear from too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think what I really didn't want to try to duplicate that. And I really wanted it to be fun. And the fact of the matter is, I really don't get enough time to talk with you. And so I have to take advantage of that during our podcast
to be able to do so. And I remember that when we were first talking about this, it's a kind of an embarrassment or a blind spot for me. You said, oh, it's you see that show Car Talk, right?
Yeah.
We can do. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? I am vaguely aware that there is such a show with that name, but I know nothing about it. And I think in my mind, I was confusing it with, what's it, TV, Top Gear, I guess, is a show.
Oh, wow, really? Yeah, that's a lot different.
In my mind, those two were the same. And that, and in both cases, I had really no idea what you meant, but.
Oh, and you probably still don't know, do you?
But thank you for bearing with me. That's the important thing, and kind of leading us into a year of this.
Yeah, well, you know, the Car Talk, I'm probably really dating myself because I think these guys have been around a long time. But they go by Click and Clack, and they just talk about random stuff. And every once in a while, somebody calls in to ask a question about cars, and they give a meandering answer about it. And that's pretty much the approach that we take.
Except we're not taking the calls. We're happy to get patron questions. Right. And we've done patron questions in the past and happy to do so at any time in the future. Mm-hmm. So
that's kind of, that was my vision for it. And that's actually how I sold it, I think, to Ryan. And it occurs to me that maybe he had no idea what I was talking about as well. Because he's younger than both of us.
And like me, he's like, is that like Top Gear? Are they going to be?
Okay. Well, I to clarify, I guess, for our audiences, Ron and I are going to talk about stuff. Some of it's going to be related to gaming and, in particular, Starfinder. We're going to cover a lot of variety of topics. Every once in a while, something will pique our interest and we'll take a deep dive into that. Otherwise, you have to ask us what you want us to talk about, and then we're happy to talk about it. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to make stuff up as we go along.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Absolutely true. And either way, we'll love every minute of it. That's the thing. It's been a very enjoyable year.
Well, you know, that's funny because, like, before the show, we would spend like 15, 20 minutes talking about stuff. And then I said, you know what? We should just record this. And that's how we got a lot of the personal talk in a lot of the shows. And then when we're done, we usually end up spending another bunch of time afterwards talking, which I know cuts into your writing time. So I really appreciate that.
Right. Thank you. It's interesting to hear how you're going, how you're doing. And it's the kind of stuff that people won't care about, right, on this show. It's like, you know, it's a, your daughter said this thing the other day. What was the follow-up with that? I mean, that's not. You know, it's just too, dad talk, I guess.
Well, today I got to tell you some other cool stuff about, you know, when you're going to come up here. So we'll leave that for later, for sure.
Yeah. But you talked about setting something like this up and sort of the tools for it. And then you talked about, and then what we're doing in the future. I mean, so what do you think about the future? I mean, eventually we're going to get to a point, and certainly it's going to be within the next year, when we're not all confined to our houses. And what then? What do you see? What do you think?
Well, getting back to stuff, I'll say, because I think this ties into that. So for the actual play, we're recording it in person. I actually have a sound recorder and a mixer and a set of mics for everybody that was going to be in our actual play, plus a couple spares in case something happened. So if if we want, I mean, you and I, we could go meet for coffee and record, because I actually have a handheld recorder. So
okay. Oh, like when you do the one-on-ones.
Yeah. You know, when I would go to conventions, I was doing one-on-ones with a handheld recorder. So we could actually meet somewhere in person and actually do this if we want. We could do it at your house, or you could do it at my house. Or we could just continue to do this really convenient way of recording online, which
and call, is not yep. bad. Well, now, did Zencastr, you mentioned that Zencastr did two people just fine, and we're yeah. obviously it's just the two of us. Didn't they have groups for free for a little while, but now they don't? How did Zencastr change?
So so what happened initially, and this is like when we switched over even with our actual play from using the Craig Discord robot to Zencastr because of reliability reasons. You still had to pay for more than two people. And shortly after we made the switch, then they just made it free for everybody during the duration of the pandemic to have the unlimited users on it. I'm guessing thinking that this is only going to last a couple of weeks.
Right, right.
And so now here we are a year later. They're still offering it free as far as I know. And as soon as we go to the actual play and I get only two people allowed, then I'll have to go and pay the $15 a month to get the extras. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty good. You know, in terms of recording this, so remotely, so, you know, I use, you have the computer with this client called Zencastr, and we actually use the classic Zencastr now. They came up with that new version, which was really caused us some problems with the actual play. So I decided to stick with this. And then both parties need to have a headset with a mic, and you have a... What did I get you for that? I don't even know the brand.
It is a headset and a mic. I don't. Am I supposed to know the brand?
No, I don't remember. I have a, because I was GMing when we were playing live at your house with the actual play. I have a headset and a mic. It's an ATEC or something that's pretty good quality setup, but I have to actually put it into a processor to use it in my computer. So it's not a direct plug-in, the mic into my computer. Like yours is, but it's because it's designed actually for that mixer setup that I had. So
I see.
Yeah. So it's a little bit more complicated. But yeah, you could buy a couple of headsets and mics, and I think the one I got you is kind of middle of the road, so it's not very expensive. Plug it in your computer and boom, you're recording. It's actually pretty straightforward.
That's what I've been using. I honestly been using this for everything, right? So I get, whenever we're doing the online games, whenever I'm doing like a Zoom meeting, it's easy enough that I just take it and I unplug the jack and then plug it into my phone. If somebody gives me a call during the working day, right? I got headphones on anyway, so just plug it in and I can take a phone call. So it's really handy.
And you sound really good.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Now, the other thing that's required is editing software, though. And I went through a couple of trial and errors with that. One of the main free ones people use is a program called Audacity. And there's lots of books on how to use it and everything. I actually went for a kind of semi-pro package called Reaper. I read some good recommendations on it. There's not as much written documentation on how to use it, but there's like tons of YouTubes. Actually, people in Europe use this quite a bit. So there's a lot of European created YouTube videos. And so with that, I've learned how to do quite a bit of editing to the point where it used to take me 4 to 5 hours. Now it takes me 1 to 2 hours to edit stuff down. And most of that is just listening time and catching the precise point when I need to delete something or do whatever. So,
well, now it can't reduce to less than the duration of the thing we're recording, right? Because you have to at least hear the whole thing all the way through. Is that right?
Correct. I am not brave enough to not listen all the way through. Just to make sure that, you know, I could just like for digital divination, I actually have a front intro that I've recorded, I edit in. I have a little bit of intro music and closing music on
it. It's very high tech, by the way. I've listened to our show and it's high tech kind of sound. It fits digital divination in feel very well.
Yeah, I think it sounds, it's as professional as I could make it early on. You know, I'm not a professional at this, but I think it sounds pretty good and it mixes well. I had to buy basically the license to that music also to do it. And I bought it from somebody in the UK. They have a whole bunch of samples. I kind of picked that one. But, you know, all told, you know, the whole thing is maybe everything to set up and produce this thing here. You could do it on the cheap for $100. I mean, that's really not much. Assuming you have a couple computers on either end, you know, in internet.
Right, right. Sort of the basics that you'd have if you were doing anything kind of remotely, even if you were working from home kind of remotely, then.
Right. Now, I have a lot of higher end stuff that I bought because we were doing the actual play and recording it physically in your house. And one of the things that people always talk about with actual plays, any podcast actually, is you got to have good sound quality from the beginning. Otherwise, people won't bother listening to it past that.
Oh, because even if you get better, you'll have lost them if it was right. Poor at the beginning.
They'll start at the beginning. So I always try to make an effort to make sure the sound as good as I can get it. And you'll notice, you know, with the actual play and even here, you know, I always check my sound ahead of time with myself. And then I, you know, spend some time listening to the other people online to make sure we can fine tune things as best we can.
Yeah. And we know it. We know that we'll get on and you'll tell us whether we sound good or sound bad. And yes. We know you're not making any moral judgments, right? Yes.
Well, and that's the funny thing, because like this last week when we were recording, Mark had been bugging me for a long time in his recording, and I thought I'd gone through everything I could with him, and then I just mentioned that, oh man, it really sounds like you're recording through the wrong mic, and sure enough, he had a separate mic plugged in for his camera phone, and I know I asked him that a long time ago.
But that's what was picking it up and then not sounding as great?
Yeah, yeah. And so that's one of the tricks is if you have multiple devices plugged in, make sure the sound you're recording is coming through the one you want it to come through, not the one built into your laptop or sitting on your computer or built in your monitor or whatever, because typically that's not going to be near as good as the one that you have on your headset. And I just hit my headset.
Yeah. And then you're hitting kind of you're pulling sort of the lower quality when you should doing what you can to shut all that down. So you're pulling only from the higher quality.
Yeah. So and for me being, you know, I was a technical person, but I was not a sound editor or I had to research a lot of this stuff, but it didn't take a lot. And that's kind of the thing I enjoy doing is figuring things out. So I think anybody could do that. I think the critical part for doing a podcast is actually having a good partner and then having something to talk about.
Yep. Oh, and we don't let a lack of the latter stop us ever.
true. But you know, I'm a member of a couple of Facebook podcasting groups, right? And people are always posting about, oh, looking for guests or trying to figure out this and whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, I never worry about that stuff. I always have you.
What is the did you see a lot of value in those? It seems to me that if you were somebody just starting out doing this, finding a community of kind of like-minded people that you can kind of bounce what seemed like kind of dumb problems off of, right? Mm-hmm. You do research, like, I can't figure out why I keep getting this weird buzz. Hey, everybody, I'm using this equipment, I get a weird buzz. I mean, are they helpful or argumentative or what's the...
I think early on I learned a bunch, but now I realize that I have more experience than a lot of the people that are on there posting. And so what ends up happening in the community is you get a lot of people that are new, are asking questions and doing stuff, and then they kind of move on. And basically... It's this constant churn of newer people asking the same things. And so you can respond to something if you want, but now it's like, I just kind of wait to see if there's something of interest. Like when I was just looking for royalty-free music, hey, that's something that's comes up every once in a while. That's a good place to get that information. When I was looking for, you know, different digital audio workstations for editing, people have, you know, various opinions on that. But just the general day-to-day stuff, everybody struggles with the same thing in terms of, you know, how do I get more listeners or how do I deal with a problematic guest who says they're going to show up and doesn't do this or, you know, what happens? You know, one I saw recently and we've experienced is, you know, I had three people on in my podcast and one of them sounded completely cut out. What should I do?
What do I do about that? Yeah, you know,
they completely lost the recording, right? So I think, oh, where have we seen that happen?
that has happened to us. I have to say, recently I was on with a Friday podcast that Paizo was doing, and that's been kind of fun, where they kind of showcase people that work at the company, and we get to talk about what we're doing. And we had one of the employees, her camera died sort of right, like within the first 2 minutes of the show. And the host just kept rolling on with it. And they were quick able to put in a, like a temporary picture where you could see the rest of us. We could hear her fine, but you couldn't see her, and just rolled with it. And I think that's kind of the key for a lot of this, is you just kind of roll with it.
Well, and I think that one's done live too, isn't it?
It is. Yep.
Yeah. So you really can't stop and say, oh, we'll just fix that in post.
Right.
You got to go. And is that Aaron's that he started?
That is Aaron. Yeah. I was really impressed with that. I didn't find out until later that Aaron didn't have a lot of experience with that, but handled it with such aplomb. I was actually really, really, I had assumed that he had experience with that kind of thing. So.
And Peyton wasn't there to help out? It was just Aaron running the whole show?
No, it was Aaron, and then there is a another organization that has done some podcasting independent of Paizo to help us out on the back end to make sure it got streamed and everything.
Cool. Very good.
Yeah, but anyway, it worked really well, and it was nice to be able to talk, give preview hints. We'll do some of that here from time to time, but in a more formal way.
You know, one of the things I really like about our show here that we do is we record it, like in this case, the day before it gets posted. And usually it's a day or two before it gets posted. So we try to be really current with whatever we're talking about.
Right. Although today, of all days, is sort of a terrible day to be current on news events. So yes, that's great. But another tragedy today that... unfolding, and that's the kind of thing that you deal with when you're like, what's the current news of the day? Sometimes it's fun in the middle of a pandemic, often not so fun.
And you're of course referencing the shooting at the mall in Colorado.
So, yeah,
I was just kind of looking through that as more details are coming through. It's You know, it's sad. You know, we had that shooting, and then just this last week, we had the shooting at all the Asian-owned spas. And we go through cycles, news cycles of kind of bad news and then really bad news. And
Right.
Not a lot of good news has come out lately.
Well, we've got a lot of real successes in administering vaccines. I think that's been some good news.
Yeah.
I think there's been some real help to people, both sort of financially and people who are eager to get news to help them resume something like a normal life. The CDC's guidance that students can be 3 feet apart in class rather than 6 feet is pretty big, actually, I think, for getting a lot of people into a lot of kids back to school. So, there's some pieces of news like that. But as wearying as the entire pandemic situation is on every aspect of life, it is almost, it's sad, but not really a surprise that there are people who just are unable to deal with it. And whatever hard emotions or mental instabilities or the like that they may have had, they act out, and then other people suffer, and, it alters lives in a really sad way.
Well, and I actually wonder if the pandemic, if we had fewer of those things throughout the pandemic, and now that things are getting back to normal, where people are out in public and doing things more, that these things are cropping up more now? Because I don't remember this happening a lot, versus in the previous years, it seemed like we were having an epidemic of shootings.
It would be interesting to see the sort of the alternate history, right, where the pandemic might have been like one of those that just kind of narrowly missed. All right, well, what was 2020 like in that world, in where the pandemic was missed or minimized really early on, and things kept rolling along like before? I mean, that's what then happens. That's interesting to contemplate. And I think you've got a good point that maybe it's not all rosy, right?
Well, I'll be glad for one when it's done. And I think we should try to do some on location interviews, maybe go to a convention and do our podcast recording there or something.
That would be really neat. That would be really neat.
Then we could call people. Hey, we're doing a podcast. You want to ask? Maybe we get some audience participation. Then I don't know.
That would be kind of neat. You and I have very little authority in conventions, but there's no reason we can't just sort of set up shop on a corner in a hall someplace and see what happens.
Put a sign out and people will come by, I'm sure. Oh, that's look, right. It's John and Ron. Yeah.
Hey, it's two guys with a microphone.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is before your time or not. There used to be a show in Seattle in the afternoon called the Ron and Don Show.
No, I haven't heard of it. This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, it was on the air for a long time, and then they just got unceremoniously booted out about 2 years ago. And so when that's one of the first things I thought about with this is, oh, we're going to be the Ron and John Show.
Ron and John Show instead of Ron and Don. Yeah. What happened to him? Do you know, or is it? Is it sad?
No, well, they're now, both of them are selling real estate in Seattle.
All right, maybe that's not sad.
And they're doing a podcast of their show still. Because they apparently had a pretty big following. They've been together doing the show for like 25 years all over the country.
Wow.
And just something, it's like the station wanted to make a change in demographics or something. I don't really know. The people that replaced them, it was the evening drive. So I would listen to them driving in from home from Seattle. And the people that replaced them were awful.
Oh,
you know, and so it's like, okay, whatever. And I think one of the guys was kind of old and curmudgeon-y and maybe was not politically correct on certain things. I say that in that, not that he said racist stuff, but that he would just say things that the station didn't want him to say.
I can see that. Yeah. So,
because definitely they were both pretty caring individuals, supported a lot of causes and things.
Huh.
But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
And now real estate. Maybe that's us in 26 years. Who knows, John? That's
I I'm a bit older than you. I think in 26 years, I hope to be well retired. Well retired. Yeah, because you know, by then I might even be like 50 or something. You know. Yeah. All right. You know. So, a year from now, what should we be reflecting on as to where our show started going and what it accomplished?
Ooh. Oh, if I had to make some predictions, I think in a year, it's going to be hard to look back at this point, right? Because if we're in a year, we're not going to think back to, oh, what was March 2020 like, right? Because the whole thing, by then, it will be, isn't it nice that we're able to meet back in person? And yeah, mm-hmm. we had this long stretch of time from when we just almost immediately when we started this thing to when we couldn't. And that stretch of time is going to blow past March 2021 that we're here. And mm-hmm. it's going to go into the summer, maybe. I mean, who knows? But it's going to be mm-hmm. at least a few months from here. And mm-hmm. so I think it'll be hard to peg this as a point to look back to, which means there's going to be at least no small number of changes between now and then in the way we're doing things.
Well, I think so. I think we'll be doing more things in person, probably get involved in more conventions. You know, I think both of us individually being able to do those sorts of things, have stuff to talk about.
Right.
Do you think Starfinder will evolve much in the next year?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And it makes me wish I'd been paying perhaps a little more attention to the upcoming product cycle before jumping on this particular recording, because I've got a good sense. You and I both are doing some writing, and we have a sense of things that aren't announced yet. And I think those things are going to be very exciting.
Oh, yeah. I think a year from now, the thing that that I just turned a milestone in on today, I think is going to be very exciting. I think people will be talking about, wow, when they introduced this thing, that really changed stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And if I can be even more vague, that type of product, which has some analog in comic books, right? Let's do kind of a mm-hmm. an interesting shakeup thing. Well, that sets the stage to do interesting shakeup things like that afterward, right? It's mm-hmm. not just one event, right? It's what was the one for this you know, year or 18 months, and then what was this next one? And maybe we'll be on to, you know, some other thing, assuming this one takes off and sort of grips the public consciousness and thrills people like we all hope that it will. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll be talking about the what's next in that line, and that could be really cool.
Yeah, I envision that it happening. I think the comic book analogy is kind of a good one. You know, you have the base story arc, and then you have the subsequent versions that kind of branch off of that. And I think we have to be really careful about what we're saying now, because I think you actually might have overstepped something there for a bit. So
quite possible. Yes. But we're still pretty vague. So.
Yes. I know. I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Right.
Especially you. You're my cash cow. Without you, people aren't going to listen to this show. So got to keep you around.
That's true. Well, we want to have people have something to listen for, right?
Yes. So. But there will be exciting things that will... I think Starfinder is going to evolve nicely. I think that, you know, we're now starting like the fourth year. So officially at PaizaCon. I think the fourth year of Starfinder. I mean, it'll be 4 years old at Gen Con, but they're kicking things off a little bit early, it seems like. Though apparently there's going to be some releases at Gen Con as well. But, you know, that's 4 years. And, you know, how far along was Pathfinder before they started working on the second edition?
Well, I want to say 10 years, but I think their general...
That's when it came out, not right. When they started working on it.
Oh, I don't know when they started working on it. I mean, because a lot of that happens, well, and even if they'd been working on it for, let's say, 3 years before it came out, that's, I think, the general consensus, you know, maybe internally, externally, I agree with it as well, is that Paizo waited a little too long to do Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and maybe should have started on it a little sooner. Mm-hmm.
So this time next year, we could be talking about, there's some rumors swirling around about some changes.
About some Starfinder 2nd Edition. Yeah. Heck, this time next year, rumors about Starfinder 3rd Edition. 2nd Edition is great, and we all love playing it. And Starfinder 3rd Edition is right around the corner. All right. Well, maybe that'd be a little quick.
Yeah, that'd be a fast turn. No, and honestly, I don't know that they would move that quickly, but... it'd be interesting. I think that we will continue to see new things, new classes, you know, some new character species for aliens and playable races, you know, a lot more hardcovers. I mean, we've worked on several hardcovers that haven't been announced yet. So I know those are coming. And I think very thematically, it looks like they're filling out the series of hardcovers for Starfinder, very similar to what they did for Pathfinder, I think, early on, and with how they're looking to do that for second edition. So, I any gaps that people notice, you can pretty much guarantee that somebody's working on a hardcover for that.
Right. I don't think you need to be a real sort of savvy genius to realize, wait, they did the Pact Worlds, then they did Near Space. What's that third part of the, you know, don't they divide everything into Pact World, Near Space, and the Vast?
Yeah.
Wonder if there's something like that coming down the pipe. I mean, like you see, you identify places where there absolutely could be something to get put and find it there. I do think that one of the things that we're already starting to see is some changes in the way that Starfinder team delivers the content, particularly adventure content. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of exciting. Adventure paths going back to bi-monthly because they're interspersed with standalone adventures. That's really neat.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that. And I'm just itching to write me some full blown adventures. And so I'm going to start lobbying more heavily once those things start, you know, coming out regularly.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's going to be being responsive to the ways we can best be putting adventure stories out in front of people is where's Paizo going to be in a year? There, right? Paizo has built itself on the strength of its storylines, and I don't see that changing. I see that becoming more flexibly presented, and that's how we have to go. I think the biggest change is going to be that we have to be preparing for a world in which people who've liked gaming together electronically insist that they continue to be able to do so, while people who want to get together physically, like, you know, you and I are the sort of people who want to be around a gaming table physically, but we're not the entire audience. There are people who have been not just happy, but extremely enthusiastic about being able to play remotely, and those people need to continue to be supported as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think all this will change our show? Do you think we'll do anything different?
That's a good question. I do think that calling in and talking like this is pretty convenient for me, and, you know, we're able to get everything flowing together. It's certainly, we have substantially less tech issues than we're trying to get six people together than when we have just the two. But.
Well, what about topics, though, is what I'm thinking, you know? So we know that there's going to be a whole lot more stuff coming out. Maybe we'll start. I don't want to duplicate what No Direction Beyond does and kind of go over hardcovers in depth and, you know, new adventures in depth and things like that. I think, well, maybe they don't do all that. I think they talk about that stuff, but
I think they do. But also the way that we come about it is, here's what writing for the Starship Operation Manual was like, right? Mm-hmm. We're not doing a page turn of what the Starship Operations Manual is. There are other places that will do things like that. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is, what was the experience for writing for this? And then coming back, being able to dig into some of the flavor in the writing, and then digging back and doing, you know, a second, you know, sort of a second tranche of writing. And, you know, what did that feel like on that expedited schedule? And, and so on. I feel like we can still touch a lot of the same types of the same types of content that we've been doing, but we're able to do it with new stuff. Does that make sense? We can still talk about what is fun about narrative with different adventures.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I agree. I have a lot of stuff I'd love to talk about right now with you on the air, but I have to wait till we're done because I can't.
That's right.
Related to this. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I really enjoy doing that part of it. I don't really get a good sense for, you know, if our audience really enjoys seeing how the sausage is made so much. Maybe they do, you know.
Well, where else are you going to get it, I guess?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hearing the two of us talk is where you're hearing a lot of the people that are sort of behind the scenes on a lot of it as well. So,
yeah. Well, and I think the interesting perspective is that, and I was thinking about this today, is, you know, I actually play an awful lot, you know, compared to a lot of other folks that I see in this space doing things. I, you know, I'm playing two APs a week, and I'm playing gobs and gobs and gobs of scenarios. You know, I've played or GM'd 100% of all the scenarios that are out to date for Starfinder in both of those individually, 95%, you know, 95% playing, 95% GM'd each and every one out there. And so I think we bring a really kind of player-driven perspective, but also the developer side. I mean, we're covering it from a lot of lenses that I don't think you necessarily get with a lot of other people that are talking about the material.
I think that's absolutely right. Yep. So, yep.
And I know you've now written 17 APs, I hear.
Yeah, it's actually, I was thinking about it, though, it's more like 16. Because two of them, my wife really dug in to help me with. And she edits everything. But
right.
Two of them, she's really helped with the writing. She's getting her name on it as well. One of the Pathfinder Adventure Paths that's already out, and then another one that's going to be coming out, is actually both of us co-written.
Right.
So
right.
When I say 17, I'm hogging some of her credit, I guess. That's
well, and I tell you, that is a huge advantage. Given how much time I have to go through edit stuff myself, to be able to have another set of eyes that'll do that. And my wife would do it if I asked her, but I really don't want to give her that much pain. So so you are truly blessed in that area.
I know it. Yeah. So.
Well, I sincerely hope that we are doing this a year from now and having at least half as much fun as we're having now. And it hasn't become a drudgery in real work, because if it does, quite frankly, I don't want to do it anymore.
No, you know, that'll be the time. It's time for us to hang up our headphones and move on to something else. But it's been a blast for the last year. I see no reason why it wouldn't for the next year as well. So let's keep doing it.
Let's do that. Well, I'm John.
And I'm Ron. And this is Digital Divination.